This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah ma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. The topic is, I'm not led, but I lead. We're talking about the leadership, the attributes of a leadership. Can anyone be a leader? And what exactly are the attributes that will build a bridge from the past to a better future? Looking back into our giants that led this ummah for the reasons that they have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them and they earned it in order for us over 1400 years ago that we are here to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah around the world, heard loud and clear a message of unity regardless of your skin, regardless of your ethnicity, gender, creed, anything else except that we have one Qibla, one book, one Ummah, one Prophet, one goal, one reason, the reason we're created, what we're doing here, and what is waiting for us. Understanding the basis, that we will also find out that the leaders of the past are the reasons that we are here today, the leaders of today, that will assure the continuity of this ummah. Hence, we have to understand that leadership is not a position. It is a responsibility. And indeed, leadership is not a title, but a behavior. Can anyone be a leader? You'll find out that naturally, 2.5 to 5% of people are natural leaders. 2.5 and 5% can be taught to be leaders. There are different ranks of leaders and different ranks of leadership. But this is not really here to be an academic course, which this poor slave of Allah used to be in corporate that used to teach. I'm talking here for a reason. The only thing I ask for, my brothers and sisters, is a change. That's what I always ask. When you come to a place and learn something, you have to change. So we have to have a goal in the end of this lecture, and you'll find out what that is in the end, inshallah. We're not here to waste anybody's time. Indeed, that is a fallacy, the things that you build upon, false hopes. But we are here for a reason, a purpose. So remember this. If you live for yourself, your actions and deeds will die with you. But if you live for others, your actions and deeds will never die. So think about the purpose of life, why you were here, why you were created. So I'll share a personal experience that I've had myself that was a turning point in my life a little bit later to understand this means. But knowing that the leadership in itself and how much responsibility that comes with it and how important for us to have a leader amongst us is vital to our existence. You can understand now that our enemies knew this long time ago, and the first thing they wanted to destroy was the Khilafah. And that's the reason when the Ummah happened to be dissolved is when we had the symbol of the Khilafah taken away. When we want after the dunya more than anything else. We followed our own whims and desires, not the purpose and the reason that we were here. You will know the reason that you're here when you're happy. I'll give you the proof of that. In the month of Ramadan, you are the happiest, even though it's most difficult for you. You fast during the day. And you pray during the night. You stay up. You raise your hands asking Allah to give you the strength and accept from you. Every night for 29 nights or 30 nights, raising your hands, staying up, your feet are swollen, your body is aching. You're hurting after a long day of work where everybody else drinks, you're not. What everybody else eats, you're not. Everybody's joking, hugging and kissing and you're refraining. You're lowering your gaze. You're not led like a salmon. No, on the contrary, you're uphill. You're going on the path that you were brought for. Not just following, like just a school of fish. And after all of the difficulties you go through, every test and trials you go through, in the end of the month,
You're crying because Ramadan is over. Why? Because the reason you were created for is the purpose that you're doing it. You're worshiping Allah, and that's the reason you're happy. So if you leave that reason, you will never be happy. If you notice that our enemies will know that for sure, and they will take away our children before we even bring them up. What are they brought for? 36, 24, 36, that's your mission stick if you're good or bad. Do you have the six pack? How many likes do you have on Facebook? What is the purpose of your creation? It's taken away. You have something else totally different that you're here for. So you're raising a lamb, not a lion. So please ask yourself the same question. How many of you are raising Salah al-Din? It's a rhetorical question, but listen, in the past, the parents of Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi. This man was going to marry a woman. He asked her a simple question. The reason I want to get married is to raise the person that will be a leader to free Muslims. But she said, but I'm not interested in this. He says that I can't marry you. On the way out, another lady heard him. She says, I want to raise a person that will free Muslims, protect us, be able to be a good leader, free at last. He says, I want to marry you. When they were married, they raised Salah al-Din. So you should ask yourself, leadership starts with me. Because if it is to be, it's up to me. Don't pass the puck. Don't look for others to make solutions. Lead by example. Live Islam, and that's the best way of da'wah. You know why? Because ignorance is number one enemy for us. Statistics show that 70% of people right here don't know you. They don't know about Islam. But they still don't like you. They're not happy with you. They don't like the way you look. Whether it's the media or politicians, I'm not going to go there. But it's not a secret. So can I ask you a simple question? If Australia, right here, decided to pass a law that no more Muslims are welcome here, go home. We're not interested in dealing with you anymore. You're causing us too much trouble. Can I ask you another question? Will they miss you? Will people say, no, we want Muslims to stay? Or people say, get away. Will you leave a void behind? Will people say, what happened to Sister Fatima? What happened to Brother Muhammad? Will you be missed? It will be just another statistic. A zero on the left-hand side of the one. How many of us cut the lawn of our neighbor? How many of us share our food with our neighbor? How many of us take the handle of the old? How many people meet people with a smile? How many people give the benefit of the doubt? How many people live Islam for them to understand what Islam is all about? So a leadership is within you to give. Indeed, we need a leader. Otherwise, there's ham. Everyone else is going all over the place. We need some organization. We need someone that has the skill, intuition, anticipation, to be able to analyze the situation. Not the others that give us a bad name, that do things on our behalf, speak on our behalf, in our name, that have no vision, no wisdom. People are just right or left, right or wrong. Wallahi, it's not that. It's much more than that. So if you have people leading that are ignorant, they have no hikmah, no wisdom, not understanding the consequences and the repercussions of their behavior, there are no good leaders. So how does a leader act? If you look at the shepherds, how do they lead? You understand the prophets and messengers were shepherds for a reason. They have to have patience. They have to have wisdom. How to control the flock. And how do they control the flock? Have you seen a shepherd that goes in the front? They usually lead from the back. to make sure they see the shepherd and the flock ahead of them. And that's how we should be leading, making sure everyone is ahead of us. Not we are the one and everybody else works for us. You understand, the leaders of the past and even the prophets and messengers, they owned the people's hearts. They did not own the people's necks. They worked for the people. People did not work for them. They left a legacy behind that everybody else talks about after they die. They weren't ruling with the iron fist. They led by example. So you're supposed to be like a person walking in the desert where the footsteps are not heard, but they are seen. And that legacy is left behind. So when you do something for the sake of Allah. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. We made them leaders to invite others in our path when they had patience and they had yaqeen, certainty of our knowledge. اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. Put me on the treasures of the earth. Why? Hafiz, alim, understanding the situation, the mentality of the people here. Not having to go in contradiction. You live in peace. You bring people what they have in common. And they had certainty of the knowledge that only God Almighty will hold people accountable. We're just human beings, just like everybody else. So you'll understand that there's a good news. The good news is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this hadith in Sahih Imam Musnad Ahmad, rahmatullahi alayhi. And it's Hassan, sound, which is juz of the Sahih, authenticated. Talking about the Nubuwa, the prophethood, and also talking about the Khilafah. Because we can only be united when we come back. By whom? Come back to Allah. The only way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you is you come back. But if you understand now that leaders drink last, not first. Give me, what have you done for me lately? You'll find out that the reason the brother's talking about the UMA, because you have a leader, may Allah bless him. People know him, they trust him, they respect him. They've seen the actions, not a lip service. Somebody that puts the hearts and minds together. Somebody be able to understand the differences. Look at the priorities. What we have in common, what we have in differences. Someone that does not fish for fault. Someone that takes the hand and pulls you out of the hole, not push you down. Someone that is there for you when you need him. Someone that is paid his dues. So understanding that is vital to our existence and our future. So about yourself. If you go home tonight, may Allah give you a long, healthy, righteous life. If you put your head on the pillow tonight and may not be able to raise it back up again, giving you a surety that none of us are actually guaranteed to walk out the doors. But this could be the last blink of an eye, pulse of a heart, last breath you take. If you put your head on the pillow and not be able to raise it back up again, what will you be known for? What will your legacy be? What have you left behind? What will people say about you? There was a narration, a man says, what will people say about me after I die? We care too much about what will people say after we're gone. But do you have any idea what will people say about you after you're gone? They will say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." That's what will people say about you after you're gone. We come from God Almighty and unto Him we are going to be resurrected. So a good leader understands that, and that's why I'm going to finish with the attributes that falls through this. We don't care about what people think. It doesn't matter to me. فليرضى عني الناس أو فليسخطوا أنا لم أعد أسعى لغير رضاك. It doesn't matter to me, Ya Allah, what people think of me, if people are pleased with me or not pleased with me, as long as you, O Allah, is pleased with me. وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْئُلُونَ. So he said, you know what you said? He says, yes, we come from Allah and we're going back to him. Because that's not what it means. I am paving the path to understand how they lived, how they led the ummah, how they turned this whole thing around. The people that walked with bare feet had barely anything to eat. How could they lead the world, teach the people about the sciences? The treasures of Islam, we were truly prosperous. When we lived our glory days, they understood the fact that I was telling you, that they're here for a reason, and they're not holding on to a throne that is made of dust. They have a higher goal, a bigger fish to fry, and that you should be aiming so high, even though your feet are touching the ground, but your heart should not be here. Your heartbeat should be hung up there. Your ultimate goal is the success, not in this life. You should be the best in this life, don't get me wrong. We should be the best leaders in every position that you do. You should be the best doctor, best engineer, best lawyer, best mother, best father, best son, best daughter, best human being, period, as Islam asks you to do and be. They understood the fact that they are responsible for the people, not for themselves. They put people first, the safety of the community. The good of all precedes the good of one, not the other way around. So if you understand that fact, let me take you back in the past to tell you how important it is. If you go back in history, you'll find out so many leaders, this ummah is full of giants. And if you go back in time, you'll find out who you truly are. You're the daughters of Khadija and Fatima and Aisha, my dear sister, Ukhti. You are the sons of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. So when you look in the mirror today, I don't want you to see a lamb, but you see a lion. The truth about you. Yes, you've heard so many things. You've heard things all the time. It's difficult to hear it every day in. That a Muslim man is a terrorist, a Muslim woman is oppressed. Very difficult for the peer pressure. How do I get up in the morning knowing that I'm not wanted? How do I hold on to my identity? How do I hold on to the purpose, the reason I am here? Should I be a leader? Should I just walk alone? And if you do, I want you to know that even if people don't like you here, the angels in the heavens are actually proud of you and they mention your name in the mala'il a'la, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa jalla bi'ula. So you may be alone here, but you're not alone in the heavens. So don't try to please people in the displeasure of Allah. Don't try to please the creation in the displeasure of the Creator. Because if you do, the Creator will be displeased with you and force people to be displeased with you too. But if you do your best to please your Creator, even if it displeases the creation, your Creator will be pleased with you and force creation to be pleased with you too. Wallahi, people respect you whether they like it or not, Ukhti. You're not looked at as a subject of desire. You're looked at as a human being. You looked at as a pearl, even though the oyster hoists that pearl, what's inside what matters, not what the outside that matters. Raise your head up high and walk proud, knowing why you're here. My brothers, you're going to leave a legacy behind. So be careful, because when the man told his son, be careful, you will put your foot, son. He says, Dad, be careful when you walk, because I am walking in your footsteps. I will share with you something, inshallah, personally in the end. But let us continue with the best of the creation after prophets and messengers. Because if I tell you it's the prophets and messengers, the stories are there, but they tell me, these are prophets and messengers, man, what are you telling me about them for? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are role models. These are uswa. We have to walk in their footsteps if you ever want to be with them in Jannah, in paradise, after a long, healthy, righteous life, Ya Rab. They've seen more than we will ever see. The persecution. They were ousted. Not very welcomed. Why? Because they told people there's only one God, worship them. They had to tell them, do not worship your own whims and desires. Yes, freedom is there, we want it. Democracy is there, but it's restricted. If freedom is to tell me that I have a freedom to do anything to you, whether you like it or not, offend you, whether you like it or not, do harm upon others, whether you like it or not, and you call that freedom, that's not freedom. But look at the reason, the purpose of the Sharia. When people say that word, they get mad, they panic. But do you understand what does that mean? It's the goals of the law. It's to protect one's right life. Number one, protect your religion, protect your life, protect your chastity, your honor, your mental intellect, and your disposition, everything that you have. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We make sure that you live the way you want. You practice the religion the way you want. The people lived with us in the bedrock of Islam in Medina, with Christianity, Judaism, any other ism. We protected them. As a matter of fact, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man ada li waliyan, faqad adantuhu bil harb." Those who help, Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. Divine tradition. If you harm a close comrade of mine, I wage war upon them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man ada dhimmi." You know the one that had a covenant to live amongst us in peace. As if you harm me. So why are we living anywhere else but Islam? Even in a state of war, we're not supposed to destroy anyone's path. The temples of worship, I will give you the 10 commandments of war that were given by Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and the successors after him. I want you to remember these 10 very well as leaders that led armies to war. And I want you to take that and tell me if this sounds like what Fox News has. Or what others tell you who you are. This is an army going to war to defend, to be able to sustain our life. The first command, do not kill a woman. Do not kill a child. Do not kill an old man. Do not kill an animal. Do not cut a tree down. Do not pollute their water. Do not burn their homes. Do not invade them at night. When he was asked why we should not invade people at night, he says, so you may not wake that nursing mother and child. You will find those who worship God in their own ways. Let them worship God in their own ways. Fight only those who fight you. Fight only those who fight you. 10 commandments of war as Muslims were supposed to heed to. Not those who call themselves Muslims. La wallahi. You'll understand that they are worse enemies than those who are fighting on our behalf without even us telling them to go fight on our behalf. They kill more Muslims and do more damage for Muslims than anybody else can do in the history of mankind. So you have to have the knowledge and understanding of that. Don't follow a false leader. Ignorance will be among the signs of times. Ulama will die before anybody else. The ignorant fools will be the one that are in the lead. The liars will be told to be truthful, and the truthful will be called liars. The one that betrays the ummah will be one that's called, yes, this is the one that I mean, trustworthy. And the trustworthy person will be called the betrayer. Labeling names, the Dr. Pavlov theory, word association. إِذَا ضُيَّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةِ. This amana that we have for the ummah, the trustworthiness to be able to be good leaders for the ummah is gone. فَارْتَقِ بِالسَّاعَةِ. This is the close time when you have to understand that this is it. You have to hold on. Hold on to something that's going to be as red hot stone holding on. To be able to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah right now. It's very difficult, but hold on. my dear sisters and brothers, Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was known for his leadership. Abu Bakr Siddiq, 2 years, Umar al-Khattab, 20 years. Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib, all in 30 years. 6 and 12, that's your 30. So when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about that, he says, تَتَكُونَ النُّبُوَّةِ in the hadith. Prophethood will be amongst you as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to be. And it will be lifted, the prophethood, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes it to be. I'm trying to give you good news before the time is up. And then there will be khilafah, the succession, as long as ala minhaj an-nubuwah, on the way of the prophethood, as long as Allah wants it to be for you. And it will be taken away as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as He wants it to be taken away for you. And then there will be mulkun aad. You know, it's like people biting each other, like a dog bites, fight over a morsel of food or even a bone, which is this life. ثم يكون ملك جبري. You know the iron fist, the oppression, the tyranny? Welcome aboard. But he gave you good news. ثم تعود الخلافة على منهاج النبوة. One time, one more time, it will come back. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, when he became an emir, he was married to the daughter of the king. She had dresses that had jewels in it. He says, I cannot marry you, be the emir, and you, my wife, has all of this. Give it away. I give you a choice. A choice you have to make. He says, there is no choice. I cannot take a decision to be away from you. I gave it away. When he was dying, he brought his children forward. He says, I could have made you the richest people. I could have given you everything you want, but I chose Allah and His Messenger. How many leaders amongst us choose Allah and His Messenger over the worldly means? They cannot be bought. So people fight over two things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about in Surah Al-Haqq a long time ago. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَهُ هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَهُ. On Judgment Day, people will say, this money that I hoarded did not come in my aid. The power I sought did not come in my aid. So you'll know people will fight over those two things. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was known to be fair and just ruler. When the kings of Qaisar and Qasra and all of these people feared him, he had holes in his thobe. He used to sleep under a shade of a tree. No guards. And it is the same ruler. He had black lines under his eyes, crying when a young person tells him, ittaqillah, be conscious of Allah. The people that had black lines on their back because they had bags of food to give to the poor when they were asleep. No one saw them. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu hired the person that came to tell Umar ibn Khattab, be good as a leader. Sa'id ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. He says, be careful, ya Umar. And he gave him stern words. He says, wallahi, now I want you to be an emir. Sa'id ibn Amir went to Hims in Syria to be an emir. The time Umar ibn Khattab says, give me the list of people who want aid, zakah, help financially. The emir, Sa'id ibn Amir, was on the list of the poor. He couldn't believe it. Bring him to me. People that complain about four things, you know what they are? He says, you don't come out in the morning, you come out later on. And he says, they don't see you at night. And sometimes you lose consciousness. And once a month, we don't see you at all. Is it true? He says, yes, ya Amir. Wallahi, I did not want to say anything about it. But since he asked, I give my money to the poor. Everything I have, I give to the poor. I'm responsible for them. It is true. I am among the poor, even though he was the lead. And wallahi, I didn't want to say about this. I don't go out in the morning because I have to serve my wife. She's ill. I have to cook for her, serve my children before I go out. Look at the ra'iyah, the people. And wallahi, I don't see them at night because I make my day for them and I make my night for Allah. And yes, I do lose consciousness once in a while because I remember Khubayb ibn Adi. When the people were killing him, I was not a Muslim then. I did not help come in his aid. I'm afraid that I will be punished for that. Every time I remember this, I lose consciousness, asking Allah to forgive me. And it is true, once in a month, I don't come out because I only have one thawb. I only have one garment to wear. I wash it, I have to wait for it for one day to be dry, to come out again. Baka Umar. Umar cried. Umar is the same one that paved the path for the camel not to put its foot in and crumble. He says, Ya Allah, ara atubti alay kay uhayyi nafsi, uhayyi uhanni nafsi. Have you forgiven me, O Allah, so I did not pave the path for a camel to be walking in peace, so I congratulate myself. And finally, I'll tell you the reason here. I've showed you. I'll share this with you in the last time, inshallah, because the time is up. This happened to this poor slave of Allah, wallahi. When I came back to the path of Allah, by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ula, I was invited by others to attend the Muslim wedding. This was news to me. And all of a sudden, the brothers took a small mushaf, small Quran in their hand, and they raised it. And they said this nasheed that changed my life, wallahi. Who I was hanging around with, what I was seeing and saying and hearing. And look what the people that have the truth about Islam said. They raised their mushaf in their hand and they raised this beautiful voice. The beautiful nasheed, which states, الله غايتنا الله غايتنا ورسولنا زعيمنا رسولنا قدوتنا قرآننا دستورنا قرآننا دستورنا قرآننا شرعتنا جهادنا سبيلنا جهادنا سبيلنا والموت في سبيل الله أسمى أمانينا أسمى أمانينا. جزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
I wanna be in Jannah, Jannah, yeah. Jannah, Jannah. Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah, 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 Jannah. A pious person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah, Jannah, Jannah.